the University Union Plaza until 2 in the afternoon tomorrow. Proceeds will go to the San Luis Obispo chapter of the Red Cross and to help finance attendance of the member of the Cal Poly chapter of the California Parks and Recreation Society at their upcoming conference in San Diego. Top stories of the hour. It looks like it's
out of the 91 news files from A to Z under Baby by Request. Well, no doubt you've heard an experience where someone's been overcharged or perhaps even charged for something that they didn't ask for. That's what happened to George Schwenk of Los Angeles when he received a bill for $300 from the hospital. True, he had been to the hospital for an eye injury, but his bill informed him that he was being charged for the service of delivering a baby. George Schwenk figured that something was amiss, so he fired off a note to the hospital stating, "Please correct this error, or at least send me my baby." And in Denver, a new day has dawned, literally. It's the idea of City Auditor Johnny D, who needed an extra day to pay bills. So D revised the calendar used by his office last year, adding the unfamiliar date of December 32nd. The reason, according to an aide, was to achieve tidy bookkeeping. When December 31st rolls around and the city balances its books, the aide said there are still some bills outstanding that haven't arrived in the auditor's office. That's from A to Z under A New Day is Dawning.
Full gospel singer and songwriter Pam Mark Hall will appear in concert Saturday, March 3rd at the First Baptist Church of San Luis Obispo. The free concert is open to the public and begins at 7:30 in the evening. The event is sponsored by the Cal Poly Roger Williams Fellowship. Don't miss this opportunity to hear Pam Mark Hall, free, March 3rd, at the First Baptist Church of San Luis Obispo.
Disappointed, that's the word of the day from Mustang volleyball coach Mike Wilton. Comment came in response to the Mustangs' loss to third-ranked USC over the weekend. Wilton is quoted as saying at the beginning of the season, his Mustangs really wanted to win, but he says now his team will have to prove how bad they want it. Cal Poly lost the first, second, and fourth matches to the highly touted Trojans, but Wilton thinks the Mustangs should have won. "It didn't look real tough," Wilton said. The coach hopes the disappointment will prove the spark needed to get past UC Santa Barbara on Thursday and San Diego State on Saturday. The Santa Barbara match is crucial, according to Wilton. He says that the Gauchos have met the same teams as Cal Poly and also own a 2-3 league record. Wilton says the key to winning in Santa Barbara is which team wants to win the most. Coach Wilton plans a lineup change to help get the Mustangs on track. "The lineup is up in the air right now," Wilton says. With Lyndon Crow and Chuck Hayes have been playing well and will probably start. Los Angeles Dodger board chairman Walter O'Malley is undergoing evaluation tests today at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, where he was flown from the Dodgers training camp in Vero Beach, Florida. O'Malley complained of dizziness while riding in a golf cart, but a team official says O'Malley's illness did not appear to be serious. Charlie Finley was unable to pull Oakland A's from their lease in the Oakland Coliseum, and shopping mall magnate Edward DiBartolo has withdrawn his $13 million offer for the team. Vincent Bartimo, DiBartolo's troubleshooter, says Finley and the Oakland Coliseum officials are, in his words, in a no-win situation. More and more players are reporting to baseball training camps, but a few teams are having trouble with some of their stars. Bobby Bonds' status with the Cleveland Indians still is unclear. Bonds has refused to play for the Tribe, which opens camp today, until a contract dispute is ironed out. And the Atlanta Braves say they still have received no word from Bob Horner, last year's National League Rookie of the Year. The third baseman also is involved in a contract dispute. The latest figures released by the National Hockey League show Montreal Canadiens superstar Guy Lafleur is still atop the league scoring race. In games through Sunday, the three-time NHL scoring leader has 45 goals and 54 assists for 99 points. Brian Trottier of the New York Islanders is second with 95. Many an armchair quarterback aspires to make it in professional football. Not too many actually make it, let alone even try out. Roy Scott is one such local armchair quarterback who longs to return to the gridiron. After playing junior and senior high football, as well as here at Cal Poly, Roy Scott wants to play ball for the Oakland Raiders. A couple of weeks ago, Scott tried out for a team in the Canadian Football League. 91 Sports reporter Holly Cruz recently talked with Scott to find out how his tryout with the NFL, with the CFL, went.
When you went a couple of weekends ago, could you tell me about some of the things that they had you do?
Basically, what I got into is it was all speed. Okay, there's about 300 folks that are turned out for this game in Saskatchewan. They call themselves Rough Riders. And what they want, first of all, they have people out from speed. Okay, I was the second off. So I was right there in the first round. I was eliminated. But that's the main reason why I went down to find out how far away I was going to be able to make it on different teams. So it's just a good learning experience. So the different people who have made it from there, they go from time and then to agility. They want to know if you can handle your position like you're supposed to. Can you do the things in different situations that you can handle?
What originally got you interested in playing football?
Well, I guess it's just like most anything. It's all about society. It's been based on sports. Like, if you're coming up through grammar school, and there it's always been, like, baseball, and then, like, got into my eighth grade, so it's been Pop Warner, and it's always been football. Every year, that's something I can play. And when I reached college, it's like it was like an all-year thing. People may think football season ends in November or December, but it's continually going. The players are always constantly right now, they're looking out for the next year's season. So it's a continual-year thing, so I've always just been involved in football.
How do you feel that you'll fare at the next tryout?
Hopefully better than I did the first time.
That's a look at 91 Sports for this half hour. We'll have more sports in 25 minutes. I'm Dave Bonner reporting. Now here's Bev Sazenberry with the top stories of the hour.
It looks like Israeli Prime Minister Begin will not be coming to Washington this week for a Mideast summit. The Israeli cabinet today overwhelmingly rejected President Carter's invitation to the Israeli leader. However, Begin indicated that he would be willing to meet personally with Carter anytime to discuss U.S.-Israeli relations. In Jerusalem, a bomb, apparently planted by Palestinian guerrillas, exploded in an outdoor produce market. Five people were hurt. Treasury Secretary Blumenthal met with China's Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping for an hour and a half in Peking today. He told him President Carter hopes Chinese forces will make a speedy withdrawal from Vietnam. And in Washington, Energy Secretary James Schlesinger warned the nation's governors that some mandatory energy conservation measures will be needed by summer, but probably not gasoline rationing. Kuwait has joined Abu Dhabi, Qatar, and Libya in raising oil export prices because of the shutoff of Iranian exports. Kuwait today announced that it is raising its oil prices by 9.35%. That's $1.20 a barrel. 91 News reporter Mike Medoff has this feature on the grading processes at Cal Poly.
You hand in your last final and walk out of the room with mixed feelings of relief and accomplishment. About 3 weeks later, you receive the stark results of your efforts. Grades. You may or may not have ever wondered what takes place during those 3 weeks or so in which the grades of about 16,000 students are processed. It goes something like this. About 72 hours after the last day of finals, instructors turn grades into the records office on an op-scan grade list. The lists are checked over and sent to the computer center here on campus. They're read by a machine which puts the grade information on a tape that serves as the input for the computer and outcome report cards. An adhesive label is also made to put on students' permanent records. All this is a staff-run regular administrative activity, the cost of which is absorbed by the computer center, which is in turn reimbursed by the chancellor's office. What's the margin for error in the processing of about 70,000 individual grades? About 300 mistakes due to such things as students with the same names using incorrect ID numbers or incorrect data that occasionally finds its way into the machinery. So if you pick up your grades one of these quarters and find that your GPA has shot up from a 2.5 to a 5.2, you might blame it on the computer age we live in. Then again, you might not mention it at all. I'm Mike Medoff reporting for 91 News.
Dan, have a good time. KCPR, San Luis Obispo, the San Luis South.
The Sequoia Hall, Friday, March 2nd, the Mustang Lounge, starting at 9 p.m. The cost is $1 to hall card holders and $1.50 to other Poly students. A dance.
Dance, that's right.
Contest will be held, and prizes, of course, will be awarded. So come on out and dance.
Dance, dance, dance.
With Sequoia Hall, Friday, March 2nd, the Mustang Lounge, starting at 9 p.m. Dan, dance and have a good time.
Out of the 91 News files... From A to Z, Under a New Leaf. When Larry Flint took over as the publisher of the Plains Monitor, lots of folks in Jimmy Carter's hometown figured there would be lots of changes in it. But you can imagine their surprise when Lillian Carter, the president's very own mother, ended up in the center spread of the new Larry Flint publication. The center spread depicts a saintly Miss Lillian dressed in flowing robes, holding a dark-skinned babe from India in her arms. Looking out over the heavens is Mahatma Gandhi and a dark-skinned Jesus Christ. Sam Simpson, the editor of the Plains Monitor, calls the centerfold a tribute to Miss Lillian for her concern for people all over the world. 2 months ago, who would ever have guessed that Miss Lillian would one day grace the centerfold of a Larry Flint publication? From A to Z, under A New Leaf.
This is 91 News, all day, from KCPR, San Luis Obispo.
Tim Tomastic is at the editor's desk, Dave Stone is engineering, I'm Beverly Langlois. News making the local headlines include, the Board of Trustees will be meeting tomorrow in Long Beach, recent rains to the Central Coast have hampered some farmers, and the Employees Union for Schools will host a dinner tomorrow night. We'll have details on all the local happenings as 91 News continues.
On Wednesday, April 11th, the San Luis Obispo Recreation Department is sponsoring a trip to Magic Mountain. The cost of $25 includes round-trip bus transportation and admission, and all rides are free with admission. This trip will be during Easter vacation, which provides an opportunity for school-aged people to enjoy one of California's most popular amusement parks. Magic Mountain features many fun and exciting rides, including Colossus, the tallest, longest, and fastest wooden roller coaster in the world. And the music is always good at Magic Mountain, with live singers and bands located throughout the park. The bus will leave from the Recreation Center at 864 Santa Rosa Street at 6 a.m. on Wednesday, April 11th, and will return at midnight the same day. The trip is open to anyone 10 years or older. For more information, call 541-1000, extension 62. Remember, the one cost of $25 includes transportation and all attractions. Come have fun with us at Magic Mountain.
A mime act, including singing, acting, and a combination of body movements, will be presented Thursday night at 7:30 in Chumash Auditorium. Buffo, a graduate of Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Clown College in Florida, has appeared at large and small colleges and universities throughout the United States. The cost of the performance will be $3 for general admission, $2 for students. Tickets can be purchased at the ticket desk in the University Union or at the door. The public is welcome. The Interfraternity Council will be donating some trees to the new library complex. 91 News talked to Randy Donan, advisor to IFC, and he explained what was happening.
Currently, the fraternities and sororities are making a request to donate 7 trees in the library quad area, and there's been some problems with the negotiating with the Campus Planning Commission. We're hoping that everything will be cleared and finalized by Greek Week.
On Saturday morning at 11 o'clock over at Laguna Lake, the Los Lecheros Dairy Club will be sponsoring a milk carton boat race. There will be 5 different trophies awarded, including one on the most milk cartons used. Expected to be entered in the milk carton boat race are over 20 different clubs from Cal Poly. Also, this Saturday, the Los Lecheros Dairy Club will hold a banquet at 6 o'clock in the evening at Chumash Auditorium. Being honored at the banquet is President Robert Kennedy, who is a lifetime member of the club. Price for the meal is a mere $8. The Board of Trustees Committee will meet in Long Beach tomorrow to consider plan revisions on campus planning, building, and grounds at the Cal State Northridge and Los Angeles campuses. The committee also will discuss plans for a parking project at Los Angeles and a child care center at the San Bernardino campus. Recent rains to the Central Coast have disrupted work on the local farms. 91 News spoke to Wilbur Shigahara of the National Weather Service, who told us how the rain is affecting field work.
Well, the ranchers do have to get into the fields and work up the fields and conduct cultural practices. and the rains that come intermittently does disrupt the scheduling, for example, of plowing the fields, working the fields, disking the fields, and also spraying and spraying for herbicides and insecticides.
Shigehara was also asked if the rain has set back the cultural practices in the area.
It sure has. For example, the rains would come, the grounds would get soggy, and the tractors can't get into the fields. And just as the fields are beginning to harden, so the tractors can't get back into the fields, the rains would come back in again and disrupt everything.
The results of Proposition 13 was the subject of a survey given by Assemblywoman Carol Hallett to San Luis Obispo teachers and parents. The survey, which was given at a California Teachers Association rally on February 1st, found that 95% of those surveyed feel that the results of Proposition 13 will have an impact on the attractiveness of education as a profession. Another survey result indicated that 72% of the teachers felt educators have a right to strike. Congresswoman Hallett emphasized that she does not support the right of public employees to strike. We now begin a seven-part series on the candidates running in the March 6th election for a seat on the city council. 91 News reporter Nancy Bauer has the profile on the first candidate.
Candidate Larry Robinson is currently the president of the Associated Students Incorporated of Cal Poly, where he's studying in the field of speech communications. Robinson considers himself a very concerned citizen in San Luis Obispo. He has attended numerous council meetings and has served as vice chair of the City Council Ad Hoc Committee for Housing in San Luis Obispo. Robinson says he would try to promote harmony within the community and stand up for citizens' rights. The candidate says he likes San Luis Obispo and plans to make this his home for many years. For 91 News, I'm Nancy Bauer.
Temperatures outside the KCPR studio and the surrounding areas are still rising slightly at midday. Currently, the temperatures are 47 degrees in Paso Robles, Tascadero has 54, Royal Grande 57 degrees, down in Santa Maria at 69, and right here in Slowtown, 68 degrees. 91 News time is 12:08. We'll have national news at 13 minutes after the hour when 91 News continues.
The American Optometric Association invites you to take part in Small Fantasy, an eye-to-eye talk.
Hi there. We're your eyes, and we have something to say. Sorry, it has to be a complaint. Look at us. We're changing, getting a bit older, slightly out of shape. Please bring us in for an optometric examination. It can make us and the rest of you feel better. Because we'll see better. Are you paying attention?
Say yes to your eyes. Say yes to vision care.
The Energy Department says President Carter has asked Congress for authority to use strict energy conservation measures, including gasoline rationing, in the event of a severe energy shortage. This is a contingency plan to be used if needed. The fighting intensified today in Vietnam as the United States officially urged China to withdraw its invasion forces. And China's Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping said the invasion is necessary to halt what he called Vietnamese swashbuckling in Southeast Asia. The White House has expressed grave concern over Israel's decision not to send Prime Minister Begin to a Mideast summit this weekend at Camp David. That decision was announced this morning. And a 729-foot bulk ore carrier with 40 people aboard is reported on fire and in danger of sinking off the North Carolina coast. The Coast Guard says there are no reports of injuries, but there are indications that at least one crewman may have jumped overboard. Details on these and all the latest breaking national news at 12 minutes after the hour.
Housing in the San Luis Obispo area is growing harder and harder to find, especially if you're a married student. Cal Poly has been planning since 1971 to take care of that problem, but so far a promised married student housing complex has failed to materialize. Plans for such a complex to be built on the corner of Slack and Grand Streets were submitted to the university last March by Centran Corporation of Denver, Colorado. At that time, the Mustang Daily announced that the concept had been approved by the campus planning committee, but final plans had yet to be submitted by the corporation involved. When the plans were submitted last summer, various flaws were found in them by campus housing and planning officials. The plans were tentatively rejected and sent back to the architect for revision. Until the plans are resubmitted, University officials will take no further action on the matter. No funds for new housing are in the university's 1979 or 80 budgets, and with an overall CSUC budget cut of more than $45 million by Governor Brown, it doesn't look like the funds will be readily available. So for now, the proposed married student housing complex for up to 300 students will remain non-existent buildings on the 1975 campus master plan. I'm Tom Hiscox reporting for 91 News.
Learning to cook in your microwave?
Here are some tips from the Food and Drug Administration. Avoid using metal pans or aluminum foil because they can block microwaves and cause the food to cook unevenly. Metals can also cause an uneven buildup of heat and could even damage the oven. And don't use your microwave oven in home canning because the cooking temperature and time are not sufficient to destroy bacteria. To get a free copy of the booklet, Microwave Ovens, send a postcard to the Consumer Information Center, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Today in a school in this city, there's an empty seat in the middle of a classroom. It belongs to a small child named Pete. Pete's now lying in a hospital bed, and he misses his teachers and friends very much. This little boy and other children like him need your help, your gift of blood. Please call your Tri-County's Blood Bank and share a pint of life. For Pete's sake, don't wait. Call 543-4290 for your appointment now. That's the Tri-County's Blood Bank. Give a gift of life. For Pete's sake.
President Carter has asked Congress to stand by power to ration gasoline. The Energy Department says Carter asked for the authority as part of a mandatory fuel conservation package. The administration seeks coupon-type rationing of the kind that prevailed during World War II. In addition, Carter wants the authority to close down gasoline stations on weekends, set temperature limits for public buildings, and ban advertising lights. Mobil has joined other major oil firms, staging their own form of rationing in light of high demand and a chaotic market situation. Mobil says it will begin allocating gasoline to retailers on Thursday, keeping deliveries at the same level as a year ago. Another roadblock to a lasting Mideast peace surfaced today. The Israeli cabinet turned down President Carter's offer of a summit this week. President Carter said he was gravely concerned over Israel's decision not to send Prime Minister Menachem Begin. It now looks like there will be no summit because of Israel's decision today and Egyptian President Sadat's earlier refusal to come to Camp David for more talks. Does rock music in large doses really affect hearing ability? Bob Hahn of the California Medical Association offers a few answers to that.
More people than ever before are in danger of losing their senses, or at least partially losing their sense of hearing.
Type that we really can't help with medical, surgical treatment, or drug therapy is noise-induced ear damage. That is the kind of hearing that we lose unnecessarily because of hazardous noise exposures.
Dr. Charles Lebo, a San Francisco ear specialist, studied the noise levels at rock music concerts.
People were being subjected to very hazardous noise levels. And based on the data that we obtained, we predicted that frequent and chronic exposure to such noise levels were likely to result in both temporary and permanent hearing impairments.
Dr. Lebo says if you go to discos or rock concerts frequently, wear earplugs or wads of cotton in your ears to minimize the deafening noise. This is Bob Hahn reporting from San Francisco.
Temperatures are continuing to rise and the skies are still clear at midday. The thermometer reads 21 degrees Celsius outside the KCPR studios. Newsday will continue when 91 News returns.
What goes up doesn't always come down, especially the heat in your house and the cost of it. If your income is low and your budget won't handle another expense, call the EOC Energy Program. They've got attic insulation to keep the heat inside where it belongs and weather stripping to keep the cold outside where it belongs. And it's all free to qualifying families who are buying or renting a home. Call the EOC Energy Program at 544-4355. Remember, that's 544-4355.
You're sure about this, Paul? No second doubts?
Nope. No ifs.
This is for a lifetime, you know.
No maybes.
What about smoking, if it's for a long lifetime?
No buts.
Sign that into your marriage contract for life and breath. No ifs, no maybes, no buts. Quitting is tough. Lung disease is tougher. For quitting help, write your Lung Association. They bring you this public service message because they care about every breath you take.
Lawyers in the murder trial of Angelo Marino, the so-called San Jose Cheese King, met behind closed doors yesterday in Los Angeles to discuss possible informants in the case. Pretrial hearings are to continue today with about 30 pretrial motions still before the judge. Marino's attorney, Barry Tarlow, asked for the hearing in the chambers of Superior Court Judge Kathleen Parker to compel prosecutors to turn over the names of possible informants in the case. While all around him are saying no or go slow, Governor Jerry Brown is carrying on a one-man campaign at the National Governors Conference in Washington for a constitutional amendment requiring a balanced federal budget. Brown has told the governor such an amendment is the only way to restore fiscal responsibility to the federal government. Many governors say they don't favor such a measure, while others say the matter should not be rushed into. And while Governor Brown is in Washington, Acting Governor Mike Curb is calling for changes in the Agricultural Labor Relations Act to prevent labor turmoil like the ongoing United Farm Workers strike in the Imperial Valley. Emerging from a closed-door meeting with growers and ranchers Monday, Curb said those he talked with believed the Agricultural Labor Relations Board has tended to reflect the union viewpoint and that farmers feel totally frustrated. At the start of the meeting, Curb signed his first executive order, creating a 21-member commission on agriculture to promote the state's number one industry. He also told reporters he'll sign a bill passed overwhelmingly by the Senate Monday to repeal the controversial $18 million anti-litter tax for most businesses that faced payment on Wednesday. It exempts all retailers, plus small wholesalers and manufacturers with fewer than 3 employees. Now, let's have a look at sports.
Their Kansas City All-Star third baseman George Brett will have to undergo surgery to repair calcium deposits in his right thumb. Brett returned to Kansas City from the spring training site at Fort Myers, Florida, over the weekend and was examined by Dr. Bill Benson. Brett will remain in Kansas City this week for treatment of the thumb and will undergo another examination on Friday. He injured the thumb last season and aggravated the injury a month ago in a benefit baseball game. Brett led the American League in batting in 1976. Undefeated league champion Indiana State will host West Texas State in one of 4 first-round games tomorrow night in the Missouri Valley Conference's postseason tournament. In other first-round games, Tulsa will be at New Mexico State, Drake at Wichita State, and Southern Illinois at Creighton. Indiana State went through the league's 16-game schedule undefeated, while New Mexico State posted an 11-5 record for second place. 4 teams, Drake, Creighton, Southern Illinois, and Wichita State, tied for 3rd at 8-8, and West Texas and Bradley tied for 8th at 3-13. West Texas was awarded the final playoff berth on the strength of a better overall season record than Bradley. Pacific clinched its first ever Pacific Coast Athletic Association basketball title yesterday, and today the Tigers' Ron Cornelius was named the PCAA Player of the Week. Cornelius, a 6'9" sophomore forward from Santa Ana, scored 19 points in the Tigers' 96-84 victory at San Jose State that clinched their conference title. The PCAA will open its postseason tournament at the Anaheim Convention Center Thursday night with the championship game Saturday night. The tournament winner will earn a berth in the NCAA playoffs. In first-round games, Pacific will face UC Irvine, Fresno State will play UC Santa Barbara, Utah State will go against San Jose State, and Cal State Fullerton will take on Long Beach State. A big week of college basketball tournaments will also decide NCAA representatives this week. The merry-go-round of tourneys starts tonight with Missouri Valley Conference champion Indiana State at home against West Texas State. Big 8 champion Oklahoma hosts last place Colorado in an opening round game tonight. Oklahoma State is at Missouri, Ohio State at Kansas, and Nebraska at Kansas State. The Southeastern Conference tournament will open tomorrow night. In opening rounds, it's Alabama-Florida, Kentucky-Mississippi, Mississippi State-Georgia, and Vanderbilt-Auburn. Montreal's Guy Lafleur is the leading scorer in the National Hockey League this week with 45 goals and 54 assists for 99 points. Brian Trottier of the New York Islanders is 4 points behind. At least 100 assistant coaches in the National Football League reportedly want to organize a union of their own. The director of the Western Regional Office of the NFL Players Association, Ernie Wright, says he has received many affirmative answers to the 270 invitations he sent out. 91 Sports reporter Dave Bonta now begins a two-part series about Mustang cross-country star Jim Shankle. Bonta began by asking Shankle about his strategy in running a race. Does he set the pace or let the other runners dictate the race?
It depends on who's in the race. If there's some world-class runners or some American-class runners, I'll basically try to follow and then see how I feel halfway through the race. And if I feel good, I'll try to take a lead or whatever. Now, if it's against, like, Bakersfield or some people's Division II runners, I would probably lead the race and try to hurt them as I go along.
A week before the race, you know who you're running against. Do you kind of study those people, though?
Yeah.
Let's say world-class runners and kind of figure out what they're doing?
Not really. The least you know about someone, the better, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I don't read up on all these guys like Baron Foster and Marty McCrory and people like that. I don't read up on them because, to me, they're just human beings also. And what they do in a race is they go along their own ways. And what I do in my race, I go along my ways. And I don't try to counteract what they do.
In the second part of the series, we'll be talking to Shankle about the tremendous influx of runners from other countries competing here in the United States, but competing for their home country in the Olympics. And many people have called the 1978 New York Yankees the best team that money can buy. Well, that may be so, but I thought you'd like to hear what George Steinbrenner, owner of the Yankees, had to say. After signing Louis Tiant and Tommy John, and then listening to Commissioner Bowie Kuhn lament, Steinbrenner felt he had to comment. "Look," he said, "I don't agree with free agency, but it wasn't my administration that created it." That's a look at 91 Sports for this half hour. We'll have more sports in 25 minutes when 91 News continues.
Out of the 91 News files, from A to Z, under whale watching. People are fascinated by watching animals. Zoos are packed with curious observers looking into caged animals' homes. Each year, forest areas are overpopulated with camera-flashing tourists taking pictures of a woodland creature on his daily rounds. For many who enjoy the thrill of observing animals in their habitat, the Central Coast offers an opportunity of seeing the California gray whale on its migrating journey to the south. Commercial boats leave Morro Bay each day between December and February, hauling passengers off the coast to observe and take pictures of these whales. During this time, the gray whale is migrating from the Bering Sea to its winter quarters and breeding grounds in the bays of Baja California. This is where mating occurs and the majority of the babies are born. Most whale-watching trips last around 4 hours and leave about 7 in the morning. 5 commercial boats in Morro Bay offer trips, with others offered in Avila Beach and San Simeon. So, as the swallows flock to Capistrano on their annual trip from the north, so too does the California gray whale head for its winter home to the south. So if you're looking for something different to do on a weekend, go aboard a whale watcher boat trip and see the caravan of mammals on their way to the southern waters. That's from A to Z under whale watching.
Here's the top stories of the hour. United Farm Workers leader Cesar Chavez met with lettuce strike leaders in El Centro today, but the union says there's no truth to rumors he would lead thousands of workers from field to field. Says a spokesman, "I don't know where that rumor came from, but it didn't come from us." The union says it's holding routine organizational meetings today, meetings which may have been held periodically since the strike began more than 5 weeks ago. Imperial County Sheriff's deputies report larger than usual groups of picketers at some fields, but no trouble. The harvest in the Imperial Valley, which produces most of the nation's winter lettuce, will end in about 2 weeks, and the United Farm Workers says it's winding down strike activities in that area. The strike action, a spokesman says, will shift gradually as the harvesting moves east to Arizona and north to California's San Joaquin Valley. Strike-breaking workers at one firm reportedly walked off their jobs early today when a group of about 150 union members approached them. But deputies on the scene termed the situation quiet and peaceful. Grossman said Chavez will hold a rally this evening. The Cal Poly campus has a lot of hot air. 91 News reporter Mike Medoff has talked with some student balloonists for this feature.
The president of Tintype Graphics here in San Luis Obispo is a man with an interesting hobby by the name of Brian Lawler. Mr. Lawler is a Cal Poly graduate, and if he had a theme song, it might well be the Fifth Dimensions hit of a few years back called Up, Up, and Away. Brian Lawler is about to become the new editor of Balloonist Journal magazine published here in San Luis Obispo, the official magazine of the National Organization of Balloonists, which is headquartered in Washington, D.C. And he is eminently qualified for the job because he is one of only three balloonists here in the county. Perhaps not surprisingly, balloonists are relatively independent-minded people who can be found just about anywhere. However, the greatest single concentration is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where they are 100 strong. There are two kinds of balloons, certified commercially manufactured and experimental home-built. The type of balloon you fly has an effect on such things as insurance rates and what type of flying you are entitled to do. There are six major commercial manufacturers of balloons in the entire world. The cost of balloons runs about $8,000 on up. Balloonists do have organized competition. The national championships held in Iowa every August, for example. 100 people turn out to compete, and then another 100 take off just for fun. Balloonist competition is judged mainly for accuracy, since you really cannot steer a balloon and are more or less at the mercy of the wind. One kind of competitive event is to try to pick a set of car keys up off a pole 6 inches in diameter while in flight. If you get the keys, you win the brand new car that goes with them. Nobody has won now for 3 years running, but some have come within about 50 feet. There are those who take the sport of ballooning very seriously indeed. That ballooning will someday displace baseball as the great American pastime is a little doubtful, but that's an academic point because, as Brian Lawler says, balloon flying is a very whimsical thing. This is Mike Medoff reporting for 91 News.
A public affairs presentation of KCPR, San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Sound.
When it rains in California, remember that our summers are long, hot, and dry. Remember that California survives on the water it saves, on water stored in reservoirs and groundwater basins. And remember, the California Department of Water Resources wants you to save water all year long. Save every last drop. It saves energy, too.
Out of the 91 News files. From A to Z, under Cures for Acne. A drug related to vitamin A reportedly shows tremendous promise in treating acne, the disfiguring malady which can scar the faces of its victims. A Boston University School of Medicine professor, Peter Pottie, says it's the most exciting drug for acne ever seen. This may actually be the cure for acne. More extensive trials must be carried out before the drug is approved by the Food and Drug Administration. In experiments at the dermatology branch of the National Cancer Institute, the drug completely cured up severe disfiguring acne in 13 of 14 volunteers and was 75% effective in the 14th patient. The drug, taken orally in capsule form, worked within a 16-week course of therapy. But researchers say smaller doses may be equally effective and work in as little as 8 weeks. In a report on the drug treatment appeared in today's Boston Globe, Professor Pashi cautions, as do the Cancer Institute researchers, that the drug should not be used by women unless they use some form of contraception, since the retinoid class of drugs can cause damage to embryos. Pashi says the new drug knocks the oil glands out, stops them in their tracks. Acne eruptions often occur because of overproduction of oil by skin glands. The drug trials are carried out at the Cancer Institute in Bethesda, Maryland, using volunteers whose acne had restricted all known forms of treatment, including antibiotics, vitamin A, peroxide, x-rays, and sex hormones. That's from A to Z under acne cures.
Tim Tomastic is at the editor's desk. Dave Stone is engineering. I'm Beverly Langlois. National news. Kuwait today announced it is raising its oil prices by 9.35%. That's $1.20 a barrel because of the cutoff of petroleum from Iran. Abu Dhabi, Qatar, and Libya also have raised prices. A fire in a third-story Boston apartment today left four young brothers dead and their parents seriously injured. Authorities say the fire may have been sparked by electric heaters in the apartment living room. The Marxist government of South Yemen today said it is ready for Arab League mediation in its border clashes with North Yemen. Yesterday, South Yemeni forces captured a North Yemeni town along their joint border. We'll have details on these stories and other national news as 91 News continues.
Most of us are guilty of doing something really dumb now and then. Frequently afterwards, we think to ourselves, how could I have done that? I've got more sense than that. More than likely, we were just not thinking of the project at hand, daydreaming, or were distracted by people around us. But having our minds on something else while working with an electrical appliance or tool could result in more than just regret. It could end in an accident involving bodily injury. Underwriters Laboratories, an independent, non-profit organization that has tested products for public safety since 1894, reminds everyone to concentrate on the project at hand while using electrical tools and appliances. Even before beginning a job, remember to read the manufacturer's instructions on the use and limitations of the appliance or tool. It only takes a few moments before, and care and attention during, the use of electrical products to help prevent a needless accident. This public service message on behalf of Underwriters Laboratories and KCPR.
The White House has expressed grave concern over Israel's decision not to send Prime Minister Menachem Begin to the next Mideast summit. For all purposes, that summit is already dead. Egyptian President Anwar Sadat has already said he would not attend. President Carter is expected to address himself to the peace talks this afternoon when he holds a nationally broadcast news conference. Sources in Washington say the main stumbling block to the talks seems to be Egypt's inconsistency on linking self-rule for Palestinians on the West Bank and Gaza Strip to the peace accords. And sources within Israel's cabinet say today's decision should not be seen as a threat to the peace effort. Rather, the sources say, the decision represents Israel's position that there can't be progress towards peace as long as Egypt maintains what Israel feels is a stubborn negotiating position. President Carter has asked Congress for authority to order coupon-type gasoline rationing. The Energy Department says Carter's request also includes weekend service station closings, temperature limits for public buildings, and a ban on non-essential advertising lights. Department analysts say imposing all the measures except rationing would save 500,000 barrels of oil each day. This is a contingency plan, but if passed by Congress, Carter could put it into effect at will. There are reports that one crew member aboard an ore freighter in danger of sinking off the North Carolina coast may have jumped overboard. A Coast Guard cutter and a C-130 rescue plane are heading for the 729-foot St. Chris. The ship radioed earlier that its holds were on fire, and the rest of the crew is said to be standing on the rear of the vessel. There was no word on what the ship was carrying. Prices were pushed broadly lower in active trading at the New York Stock Exchange amid a buildup of bad news concerning the oil shortage. Dow Industrials dropped significantly as declines led advances 9-2. Traders expressed concern about the long-range effects of higher oil prices and wondered if there's any end in sight. Kuwait today announced an increase of more than 9%. Other Persian Gulf oil producers have announced increases of from 5-7%. But Kuwait's decision is particularly worrisome because Kuwait is the largest producer to announce an increase. All the increases are attributed to shortages caused by the cutoff of Iranian oil. Wall Streeters noted that today's news of additional oil price hikes sent the dollar lower on European money markets. The United States, through Treasury Secretary Michael Blumenthal, has bluntly told China to get out of Vietnam. Blumenthal delivered that message today during a 90-minute meeting in Peking with Chinese Vice Premier Deng. Blumenthal, in China for a week of economic talks, said he expressed the hope that, in his words, China would withdraw as quickly as possible from Vietnam. And the withdrawal was urged even as intelligence sources in Bangkok report an intensification of the war. China has moved reinforcements into the battle zone, and Hanoi is threatening to send its regular army into the front lines. Deng met with American reporters covering Blumenthal's visit and held firm to his earlier statements about the war. He said China's troops are doing well in the fighting. Peking has already said it will not pull back from Vietnam unless the Vietnamese negotiate a ceasefire first. Dancing is now legal in Henrietta, Oklahoma. Correspondent Frank Thomas has that story.
It is now legal to dance in Henrietta, Oklahoma. City law had banned public dancing, but the city council decided to adopt a new law for fear the old one would be declared unconstitutional. Although dancing is now legal in Henriette, the council did everything it could to discourage any actual fancy footwork. License fees for dance halls and discos under the new law range from $300 to $500. No dance hall can be located within 300 feet of any establishment selling alcoholic beverages or within 500 feet of a church, school, or residential neighborhood where more than 50% of the residents object to dancing. This is Frank Thomas reporting for 91 News.
The top stories in California this hour. Lieutenant Governor Mike Curb says he'll sign legislation today reducing and delaying a $20 million litter tax. It will be Curb's first bill signing as acting governor. And a Los Angeles newspaper reports that a group of well-paid lawyers in the Attorney General's office has refused to pay back $68,000 in accidental salary overpayments. The state contends the money was disbursed in a mix-up affecting about 500 state workers. A 107-year-old state law permitting a defendant to bar the public from his preliminary hearing would be repealed under a newly proposed measure. The bill was introduced yesterday. We'll have details on those California stories in a few minutes as 91 News continues.
When a mill closes down and puts 5,000 people out of work, the effect on the community can be as disastrous as an earthquake or hurricane. In Youngstown, Ohio, though, workers are finding a solution by getting together to buy and manage that mill themselves. Father Ed Stanton explains.
We're actually trying to do something to help ourselves. That's the theme of the whole campaign. Basically, what we're trying to do is open a mill and reopen a mill and put 5,000 men and women back to work, or as many as we can.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
91 News talked to the Cal Poly Human Needs Committee. Reporter Donna Burke has that feature.
In April 1977, the Human Needs Assessment Committee of San Luis Obispo was formed to look at the unmet human needs of the city. Since the completion of the assessment, the committee hopes to bring about new programs for the city of San Luis Obispo by fall 1979. Four subcommittees will be formed: a committee dealing with coordinating ways of free or low-cost legal advice, a committee of information and referral programs in the city, a committee for adoption of housing elements in the city, and a committee to understand the nursing home problems and visiting the patients in nursing homes in San Luis Obispo. The city spent approximately $10,000 of its own funds to conduct the needs assessment. Other resources, including the use of city personnel, were also used. This is the first attempt of a comprehensive human needs assessment in the history of San Luis Obispo County and among the first in the state of California. For further information about the assessment, the committee, or the programs, contact Pat Wickstrom, Human Needs Assistant at the Human Relations Commission on Palm Street in San Luis Obispo. This is Donna Burke reporting for 91 News.
A public affairs presentation of KCPR, San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Sound.
91 News time is 12:40. A new study says there are unfavorable differences in resources received by Black and Hispanic pupils in Los Angeles, and less money is spent per pupil in minority schools. The report was made Monday by Dr. Bernard Gifford of New York, one of eight people named by Superior Court Judge Paul Egley to advise the court. The district has been given an extra week until March 7th to present an improved desegregation plan. A measure to make marijuana available as an experimental drug for the relief of glaucoma and nausea caused by cancer treatment has made it out of the Assembly Health Committee. The measure was sent to the Assembly Ways and Means Committee Monday, and an identical bill is pending in the Senate Ways and Means Committee. The bill would set up a test program to allow doctors to treat patients suffering from glaucoma and cancer chemotherapy with marijuana. The sheriff's office reports a crew working for Gourmet Company in the Imperial Valley walked out to the field where lettuce was being picked today when about 150 UFW picketers arrived. Earlier in the day, four cars carrying 16 UFW picketers arrived at the Gourmet Company packing shed at Forrester and McCabe Farms. Sheriff spokeswoman Irma Mendables says strikers are at various fields throughout the country. She reports everything is quiet in the fields, despite reports that UFW leader Cesar Chavez might lead a caravan of strikers from field to field. UFW strikers are handing out leaflets announcing a 4 p.m. rally in Calexico, where Chavez will speak. A former assistant bank manager has been sentenced to 1 year in prison after pleading guilty to a conspiracy charge in connection with a plot to steal $88,200 from the Labor's Health and Welfare Trust Fund of Southern California. U.S. District Judge Warren Ferguson sentenced 34-year-old Albert Matas yesterday. Matas was accused of participating in a scheme to steal blank health fund checks, forge them, and deposit them in a Crocker National Bank branch. A citizens' coalition has demanded that Mayor Tom Bradley stop circulating petitions seeking approval for use of the Sepulveda Basin for the construction of facilities for the 1984 Olympics. Coalition to Save the Sepulveda Basin leader Renee Weitzer said yesterday, quote, "We object to the so-called petition because it gives no facts about the mayor's proposal." The University of California Audio News Service brings us this special report on illegal aliens.
It's time that the United States deal seriously with the problems created by the increasing flow of illegal aliens into our country. That's the feeling of Walter Fogel, of UCLA's Graduate School of Management and a consultant to the federal government's task force on immigration. He says he's concerned about what type of legislation might evolve if it comes from fear.
If there were to be a sizable recession with unemployment going up to 8, 9, 10% of the labor force within any time in the next 3 to 10 years, if that were to occur, I'm afraid there would be a visceral reaction against the unsanctioned immigration, and then we would probably get legislation, and it might be passed in the moment of cash, and it might not be the best kind of legislation dealing equitably with the problem all parties concerned.
The UCLA immigration expert says if this country doesn't want to try to control illegal entry, that it should sanction it by making it lawful, so we don't develop a group of second-class residents. From the University of California, this is Bruce Tokars reporting.
Winds are expected to die down this afternoon, but clear skies will continue except for low clouds late tonight and Wednesday. Temperatures today will range from the high 60s to the 30s later tonight. Currently, the thermometer reads 22 degrees Celsius outside the KCPR studios. And Newsday at KCPR will continue when 91 News returns.
Make a date, avoid the wait. That's an important reminder for all veterans who visit Veterans Administration outpatient clinics. Increasing numbers of veterans requesting medical treatment make it more imperative than ever to make an appointment as far in advance as possible. Also, if you can't keep your appointment, be sure to let the VA know. Avoid delays in VA waiting rooms. Always make a date. Avoid the wait. And don't be a no-show. Cancel your appointment if you can't keep it. A public service message from KCPR and the Veterans Administration.
The current assistant city manager at Paso Robles, Larry Rill, has been hired as city administrator in Reedley in Fresno County. The city council hired the 34-year-old Rill yesterday to succeed Nick Pavlovich, who became city administrator at nearby Selma February 1st. Rill's Reedley salary will start at $27,500 a year. Today is the last day to pick up absentee ballots for the March 6th city elections in San Luis Obispo. The purpose of the election is to select a new city council and mayor. Ballots may be obtained in the city clerk's office until 5 p.m. tonight and may only be picked up at a later date in emergency cases. For the 1979-80 season, The Mustang Boosters Club recently elected new officers at their annual meeting. Rick Worthen was elected as the new president. The vice president's positions were filled by Charlie Cam, Rick Racule, and Frank Sheehan. Mill Barbica was retained as the treasurer, with Roger Davis as the new secretary. A 20-year-old Grover City man has been convicted of welfare fraud. Kevin Riggs has that story.
A 20-year-old Grover City man has been convicted in a Superior Court trial of welfare fraud. Randall Jensen was convicted of taking more than $1,800 in cash and food stamps under a program known as Aid to Families with Dependent Children. Jensen, an employee of the Ghost Body Shop in Arroyo Grande, committed the fraud during a period from December 1976 through August of 1978. He was sentenced by Judge Richard Kirkpatrick to 90 days in jail, a $500 fine, and was ordered to make restitution. A Department of Social Services investigation led to Jensen's arrest and subsequent conviction. This is Kevin Riggs reporting for 91 News.
City Council candidate Larry Robinson spoke to Leslie Bensaka recently about growth in San Luis Obispo.
Cal Poly ASI President Larry Robinson is the only student entered in the council race. He says that the city is going to grow, but the council needs to plan that growth.
You have to plan growth, limit the growth, decide how you want to live in San Luis Obispo for a certain amount of time, and then plan the growth. I see business growing faster than residential growth in San Luis. To keep up with the times, to keep up with Santa Maria, to keep up with competition from other areas, we're going to have to grow at least in that light. But as far as residential growth, I think we can plan this out. I think we can limit the growth as far as people living in San Luis. But
the March 6th election will be Robinson's first attempt for public office. This is Leslie Bensaka reporting for 91 News.
Dale Hale, creator of the popular syndicated newspaper cartoon Figments, will speak at Cal Poly as the last humor speaker in the Arts and Humanities series. Hale's inside view of humor will include a discussion of such questions as, are comic strips and cartoons as funny as they used to be? Has censorship hurt the comic strip and cartoon shorts? And is there still a problem with violence in TV cartoons? The presentation, titled Is the Fun in the Funnies Gone?, will be Thursday morning at 11 o'clock in room 220 of the University Union. Admission is free. Ambrosia, a rock group and recording artist of last year's hit single How Much I Feel, will appear in concert at Cal Poly on Sunday, March 4th at Chumash Auditorium. The group has scheduled one showing for 8 o'clock in the evening. Tickets for the festival seating concert will be $6.50 in advance. Tickets can be purchased at Boo Boo Records and Cheap Thrills for the general public, and tickets will be $7.50 at the door. However, Cal Poly students can purchase their tickets only at the University Union and for just $6. Age limit for the concert is 16, and photo proof of age will be enforced. The TASACS Testing Center is sponsoring a testing session today. Cliff Goulin from Student Community Services told 91 News just what TASACS is.
Today, which is being held from 9 this morning until 3 in the afternoon, the TASACS testing is a genetic testing for the genetic disease TASACS, which shows up 1 in 200 in the general population and 1 in 27 in the Jewish population.
He went on to discuss the testing center and what students must do to be tested.
The testing is being done free in Chumash Auditorium today. And last year our turnout was about 480, and the year before we had 600 and some. We've had a real good volunteer turnout, and we expect to have a good testing this year. All that it requires for anyone interested in being testing this year is that they come on up to Chumash between 9 and 3 at their own convenience and give 5 cc's of blood, fill out some paperwork, and this whole process shouldn't take more than 15 or 20 minutes depending on what time you get here. And the results of the testing will be sent back to you in about 8 weeks by mail.
Out of the 91 News files. From A to Z, under Foot and Mouth. This story is about an old illness, the illness of foot and mouth. And the person who was inflicted was Democratic House Speaker Tip O'Neill. It struck at a big party last month honoring Representative Jack Brooks, a Democrat from the great state of Texas. Representative Brooks has served the largest state in the continental United States for 25 years now. O'Neill was sitting with Brooks and his wife when O'Neill decided to turn on the old charm. So he suavely turned to Mrs. Brooks and said loud enough so everyone could hear, "I always thought Barbara was the most beautiful girl in town." Brooks turned red, then leaned over to O'Neill and said in a loud whisper, "Charlotte, my wife's name is Charlotte." Doctors don't feel the foot and mouth will have a serious effect on Tip O'Neill. And this word from Arabia, women's lib in the Arab world, a beautiful lady named Sawa Saleh is now manager of a bank in Saudi Arabia and refuses to accept men as customers. Arab wives have more power in financial matters than Western males can imagine, she reports. A certain equality is not unheard of in the Muslim tradition. And that's from A to Z under Foot in Mouth.
Here's a tax tip from the Internal Revenue Service. If you're a working parent who paid a babysitter or childcare facility to watch your children, you may be eligible for a tax credit. Don't overlook this important benefit if you paid childcare in 1978. You can get IRS Publication 503 on child care by using the mail order form in your tax package or by calling the IRS toll-free number listed in your telephone directory.
Kansas City Kings coach Cotton Fitzsimmons says Phil Ford is the best point guard in basketball on any level. Fitzsimmons can be accused for being enthused about Ford, the rookie who has turned his team around. Without Ford last season, the Kings wallowed in the basement in the NBA's Midwest Division. This year, with Ford directing KC's go-go-go attack, the Kings are residing in the division's penthouse with the second-best record in the league. Fitzsimmons is quick to point out that his club wouldn't be where it is if not for the additions of Darnell Hillman and Billy McKinney, as well as Ford. But Ford, a shoo-in for NBA Rookie of the Year award, is obviously the key ingredient. Fitzsimmons says the rookie from North Carolina is the man who set up the Kings' offense. And he added that Ford is special because he'll do the little things, like dive for loose balls or pick the team up when it's in trouble. Ford's value was shown last week when McKinney was hurt, forcing Ford to play more than 40 minutes in each of three games in three nights. The Kings won two of them, with Ford handing out 22, 12, and 21 assists during the stretch. He's averaging 9 assists a game, the highest mark by any rookie since Oscar Robertson was a first-year man in 1961. The Cal Davis Aggies have two players on this year's Far Western Conference All-Conference basketball team. Audwin Thomas was so honored a third consecutive year, while teammate Mike Lynn, the FWC's top rebounder, joined Thomas on the All-FWC first team and also was voted Player of the Year by the conference coaches. Wolf Perry and Kimberly Pelton led a school record 68% shooting night as Stanford upset Oregon State 79-76 in yesterday's Pacific 10 Conference basketball competition. Perry can 10 of 15 shots en route to a 23-point performance in the game at Stanford. And Los Angeles Dodger board chairman Walter O'Malley is undergoing evaluation tests today at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, where he was flown from the Dodgers training camp in Vero Beach, Florida. O'Malley complained of dizziness while riding in a gold cart, but a team official said O'Malley's illnesses did not appear to be serious. Just call him Butch Waltz the Giant Killer. Butch eliminated second-seeded Guillermo Villas in a Memphis tennis tournament last night, 7-6 and 7-6. And top-seeded Martina Navratilova plays her first match tonight at a $200,000 tennis tournament in Dallas. Second-seeded Chris Everett, who defeated Wendy Barlow last night, faces Rosie Casals in a second-round match. Los Angeles rookie goalie Mario Lessard posted his second shutout over Vancouver this season, and Marcel Dion fired his 43rd goal of the National Hockey League campaign for a 2-0 victory over the Canucks. Last night's win put the Kings back in second place behind the Pittsburgh Penguins of the Norris Division. And muddy track conditions at Golden Gate Field have forced the track to cancel Tuesday's thoroughbred racing program. Officials say racing will resume Wednesday after mud is scraped off the oval, and if no more heavy rain hits the area. 91 Sports reporter Dave Bonta now continues his two-part series talking with Mustang cross-country star All-American Jim Shankle. In this, the final segment, Bonta discusses with Shankle the tremendous influx of foreign runners competing here in the United States but representing their native countries at the Olympics.
As far as I'm concerned, I think it's good, basically because it allows Americans to run against them. And it allows, you know, that's international competition, actually, you know, because you're running against foreign runners. But, you know, there's a lot of coaches that don't agree with that. But you are getting the experience against them. And since they are pretty well qualified runners, you know, it's just great experience.
A lot of people complain that they come to school here and then in time of the Olympics they go back and run for their own country.
Right.
Does that kind of bother you, or...
You know, it's fair. You know, if I wanted to go to England for school and I ran over there, and if I did qualify for the American team, I would run for the United States. I wouldn't run for England. So if it was turned around the other way, I think if people thought of it that way, it would be a lot easier to understand.
That's a look at 91 Sports for this half hour. We'll have more sports in 25 minutes when 91 News continues.
KCPR is making Monday night the night to listen to the radio. Every Monday night at 9, KCPR presents An Hour With. An Hour With is 1 hour of uninterrupted music with your favorite group. Make Monday night your night to listen to the radio. Join KCPR and the Sheriff for An Hour With every Monday night right here on KCPR.
Here's the top stories of the hour. School officials in Cleveland say about 100 children were overcome by gas fumes at an elementary school today and were rushed to hospitals. Many were quickly released after treatment. Deputy School Superintendent James Tanner says he does not have any reports of serious illness. Authorities are at the scene at the Longwood School on Cleveland's Near East Side, trying to determine what kind of gas was involved and where the leak was. Some students were carried from the building in stretchers with oxygen masks over their faces. Deborah Golston, who was at the school at the time of the evacuation, said it was like a panic because they didn't know what to do with the kids. The ambulances were all gone, so they put some kids on fire trucks. Her daughter, Tanya, is an 11-year-old fifth grader at the 500-pupil school. Tanya said, "First I felt drowsy. Then I threw up a couple of times, and when we went outside, I fell on the ground in the snow, and I couldn't get up."
Out of the 91 News files, from A to Z, under Brew Your Own. The government has made it official. You can now brew beer or make wine at home without telling anyone, and can take the product out if you're headed for an organized affair. Until Congress changed the law last fall, home brewers and vintners technically were required to register with the government, although few did. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, in the notice published in the Federal Register, implemented the new law by defining the ground rules. Anyone 18 or older may make 100 gallons of wine or beer each year, 200 gallons for premises with more than one resident, for personal use and not for sale. If the legal drinking age in the city or state is more than 18, the beer or winemaker must be at least that age. That's from A to Z under Brew Your Own.
This is 91 News, all day. KCBR, San Luis Obispo.
Tim Tomastic is at the editor's desk. Dave Stone is engineering. I'm Scott Humphrey. In local news, the high rainfall this year is causing the California Department of Forestry to worry about possible forest fires this summer. The abundant growth of grass this year may prove to be a fire hazard this summer. An Arroyo Grande man was burned when his bed caught on fire this morning. He is believed to have been smoking in bed before the blaze. One candidate for the San Luis Obispo City Council says he will not run on any particular issue. Alan Bond said his job will be to listen to the citizens before taking a stand. The president of an employees' union for schools will speak at a dinner tomorrow night at Shorecliff Inn. And finally, a laser show will be coming to Cal Poly soon. We'll have details on these stories and more as 91 News continues.
Cataract is one of the leading causes of visual impairment and blindness in this country, affecting nearly a million more people every year. Cataract is a cloudiness in the lens of the eye which interferes with vision. Although most kinds of cataract cannot be prevented, sight lost from this disease can usually be restored through surgery. Cataract surgery is one of the most successful operations performed today. That's right, from 90 to 95% of all cataract operations are successful. Yet, this operation is often needlessly feared. Cataract surgery is an opportunity to regain lost sight. It is safe, painless, and usually requires only a brief stay in the hospital. And surgery is the only scientifically proven method of treating cataract. An informative booklet, Cataract, Focus on Research, has been prepared by the National Institutes of Health and is available free to the public. For your copy, write to Radio, National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland, 20014.
91 News time is 1:01. A laser light show will soon be coming to Cal Poly. Richard Malecki was contacted in Los Angeles for more information on Laserium. Tickets for the event, which is being sponsored by Sigma Delta Phi, will go on sale the end of next week. It may seem a bit early to be worrying about summer forest fires, but with the great amounts of rainfall the area has been experiencing recently, grass growth is abundant. Dick Caddy of the California Forestry Department told 91 News that they are in good shape now, but they are concerned about what's in store for them down the road. Caddy said that with abundant grass growth, fires start easily and carry quickly through the grass. A fire believed to be caused by smoking in bed injured an Arroyo Grande man this morning. Helmuth Oaks was rescued by the Arroyo Grande Fire Department in his apartment after his mattress and box springs caught fire. Oaks suffered burns on his hand and arm. According to Alan Bond, candidate for city council, a councilman's job is to listen to his constituents and accept the advice of citizens' advisory groups. Based on this stand, Bond is not running on any particular issue in the March 6th election. The director of the County Victim Assistance Unit, Bond wants the title of San Luis Obispo councilman because he is motivated by his desire to see the council change from what he sees as an advisory role to one of cooperation with the people. A robber pulled a knife on the clerk of a local grocery store early this morning and escaped with a six-pack of beer and less than $10 in cash. The robber was described as a man with shoulder-length dark hair, a mustache, pork chop sideburns, and a scar over his left eye. He left the market on foot just before 1 this morning. There's been a new development in the Napomo slang of Frankie Souza. Correspondent Dave Curley has that story.
The Napomo woman, who police believe may have murdered her husband, still hasn't been formally charged. A preliminary hearing into the case was postponed yesterday to give authorities more time to conduct their investigation into the possibility there may be another suspect. That case is the case of Frankie Souza, who was arrested on January 24th, shortly after police discovered her dead husband in the couple's Napomo home. He was hacked with a sharp instrument and shot with a gun. The murder weapons have not been found. Mrs. Souza is free on $25,000 bail. For 91 News, this is Dave Curley.
In this second segment of our seven-part series on the candidates for San Luis Obispo City Council, 91 News reporter Nancy Bauer takes a look at Alan Settle.
35-year-old Alan Settle is currently a member of the San Luis Obispo City Council. He is responsible for the initiation of programs such as the City Office of Information and Complaint to improve the city's communication with voters. Settle has been elected president of the County Area Council of Governments and handles problems such as air pollution, housing, and transportation in the community. The candidate is currently a professor at Cal Poly and has lived in San Luis Obispo with his wife and family for 9 years. For 91 News, I'm Nancy Bauer.
The president of the Employees Union for Schools will speak at a dinner tomorrow night at the Shore Cliff Inn. Ruth Blanco will talk on the development of the union at the dinner sponsored by the Cal Poly Industrial Relations Research Association. Cost of the dinner, which begins at 7:30 with cocktails at 6:30, is $6. Those wishing to hear the talk but not wishing dinner will be admitted free. The event is open to all people interested in industrial relations. The Cal Poly Mathematics Department is sponsoring a speech by Dr. Shirley Hill on Thursday, March 1st, entitled Some Critical Issues Concerning High School Preparation for College Mathematics. The speech will take place at 11 a.m. in room 148 of the Mathematics and Home Economics building. Dr. Hill will also give an evening presentation discussing the role of basics in mathematics teaching, which will be held at 7:30 in room B5 of the Science Building. The series of campus talks by distinguished architects and architectural historians continues Thursday evening in the Poly Theater. Postmodern Architecture is the topic of the lecture, to be given by widely published historian Charles Jenks. Admission to the lecture, which is scheduled to begin at 8 p.m., is free. For more information concerning the series, contact the Public Affairs Office at 546-2576. The Cal Poly Electric Power Institute is presenting a lecture on the current United States Fusion Program and its research. The discussion will be Thursday, March 1st at 11 o'clock in room 140 of the Engineering East Building. A.C. Smith, Pacific Gas and Electric Company's Mechanical and Nuclear Engineering Department, will be the guest lecturer. On a Sunday, Tuesday in February, skies remain clear in the San Luis Obispo area and are expected to remain except for low clouds tonight. Current temperatures around the area include Paso Robles with 54, Atascadero with 59, Arroyo Grande 57 degrees, Santa Maria with 66, and here in San Luis Obispo, it's a fine 70 degrees. National News is next when 91 News continues.
How's your blood pressure? Don't know? Well, you should, because undetected and untreated high blood pressure can be a killer. It can lead to heart disease, hardening of the arteries, eye disease, and even blindness. But you can control high blood pressure if it's detected and treated early. Getting your blood pressure checked is quick and painless. Just visit your local health clinic or your doctor. For a free copy of the booklet, Watch Your Blood Pressure, send a postcard to the Consumer Information Center, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
91 News Time is 107. In the top stories in the nation this hour, the American Hospital in Paris today reported further improvement in the condition of the Duchess of Windsor, who is recovering from abdominal surgery. The hospital said the 82-year-old Duchess is well enough to sit in an armchair. Queen Noor, the 27-year-old American-born wife of Jordan's King Hussein, is expecting her first child in September. Queen Noor, the former Lisa Halaby, is the daughter of Pan Am chairman Naheeb Halaby. Russell Peterson has announced his resignation as director of the Congressional Office of Technology Assessment to become president of the 400,000-member National Audubon Society. Where do you go on a warm San Luis Obispo afternoon? To the Mustang water slides, of course. 91 News reporter Mike Houston has a feature on that favorite student pastime.
Many people believe you practically need a boat to do anything at Lopez Lake. Now with the Mustang water slide, this is not the case. The Mustang water slide is actually two 600-foot water slides located just off the main road at Lopez Lake. This is the first one of its kind in the county and was designed by a former Cal Poly graduate. Warren Dolezal, who graduated in 1957 with a degree in engineering, is owner and engineer of the water slide. Dolezal told us he got the idea while visiting back east when he saw a smaller slide and decided to expand on it to a larger recreational facility. The whole project took approximately 2 years to complete from the idea to the finished construction. We asked Dolezal if there were any other facilities at the water slide.
Part of the slide, when you're on the slide, your admission includes you can either slide or you can participate in the four jacuzzi hot spas that we have. These are 8-foot diameter spas that hold about 10 people each. And that's part of your admission during the time that you're in the slide.
Dolezal said there was really no certain age group that spent most of their time at the slide, but rather young and old alike enjoyed it. The water slide is closed during the winter months and reopens again around Easter. So now when you're thinking of going to Lopez Lake, instead of looking for the nearest boat, all you will need to take will be your bathing suit. This is Mike Houston reporting for 91 News.
A public affairs presentation of KCPR, San Luis Obispo, the San Luis town.
Dance and have a good time. with Sequoia Hall, Friday, March 2nd, in the Mustang Lounge, starting at 9 p.m. The cost is $1 to hall card holders and $1.50 to other Poly students. A dance, that's right, contest will be held, and prizes, of course, will be awarded. So come on out and dance with Sequoia Hall, Friday, March 2nd, in the Mustang Lounge, starting at 9 p.m. Dance, and have a good time.
Folk gospel singer and songwriter Pam Mark Hall will appear in concert Saturday, March 3rd at the First Baptist Church of San Luis Obispo. The free concert is open to the public and begins at 7:30 in the evening. The event is sponsored by the Cal Poly Roger Williams Fellowship. Don't miss this opportunity to hear Pam Mark Hall, free, March 3rd at the First Baptist Church of San Luis Obispo.
In national news, Washington's next move in the Mideast peace process is uncertain. The Israeli cabinet has rejected an American invitation to Prime Minister Begin to attend a Camp David summit. The decision apparently took the administration by surprise. There's no official word yet, but a senior White House official says the initial reaction at the White House was of grave concern. In the past, President Carter has dropped hints that he would abandon the mediation effort if Egypt and Israel indicated no progress toward a peace treaty. And Prime Minister Begin said today there had been no progress at lower-level talks last week. Egyptian President Sadat today defended his contacts with the deposed Shah of Iran, saying Egypt stands with its brothers in times of trouble. But Sadat said this doesn't mean Egypt is against the Iranian revolution. His remarks were reported by Egypt's official Mideast news agency. An Iranian newspaper says a former commander in Iran's parliamentary state police has been executed by firing squad. The official was accused of ordering his troops to fire on anti-government demonstrators, resulting in 3 deaths. Treasury Secretary Blumenthal says China's Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping has indicated the invasion of Vietnam is a limited operation. Blumenthal met with Deng today in Peking. He delivered President Carter's message to Deng on the invasion, calling for a quick withdrawal from Vietnam. And Blumenthal relayed a message from Deng to Carter. Blumenthal says it's possible he'll receive more instructions from the White House before meeting tomorrow with the Communist Party chairman. The Coast Guard says a merchant vessel, the St. Chris, with a crew of 40, reported today it's on fire and in danger of sinking in the Atlantic off the North Carolina coast. A Coast Guard spokesman says the 720-foot bulk ore carrier is 300 miles east of Cape Lookout. Both a plane and a cutter have been sent to the scene. The Coast Guard says it has no information on how the fire started, where the St. Chris has loaded, or where it was bound. A White House task force says most x-rays taken by doctors and dentists are useful, but it also says many are unnecessary and could be eliminated. HEW Secretary Califano today released a task force report on radiation. It calls for a major federal effort to alert the public to health risks posed by low-level radiation from unnecessary medical x-rays. There's a new country, or so it says, in the Paris telephone directory. Separatist feeling runs high in the Canadian province of Quebec, but it actually has no embassy in Paris, as listed in the 1979 directory, just a mission. A Canadian embassy spokesman dismisses the affair as a childish attempt by someone to assert the nationalism of the mostly French-speaking province. Bob Hahn of the California Medical Association has a report on the effect of loud rock music on hearing.
If you enjoy rock concerts or disco dancing and you hear bells, you should lend an ear.
If a frequenter of rock or disco establishments notices ringing in the ears after exposure, this is a signal to him that he may be incurring ear damage, that he may be more susceptible than his friends, or that he had better sit up and take notice.
That's Dr. Charles Lebo, a San Francisco ear specialist. His studies show that people who frequently listen to loud music can permanently damage their hearing. How can you prevent such damage?
By wearing some sort of...